ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, Verse Number 29, 30. Verse 31 also in Chapter 8 in Shri. Repeat after me. Sri Shuka Vacha.
Sri Shuka Vacha.
Jambu Deepasya.
चाराजन
उपाद्विपान
उपाद्विपान
अस्तो
अस्तो
हैका
हैका
उपदिशंति
उपदिशंति
सदरात्मजय
अश्वान
वेशना
अश्वान से दुनिया
इमाम
इमाम
महीम
महीम
परितो
परितो
निकनाद्वीर
निकनाद्वीर
उपकल्पितान
उपकल्पितन
यत्तता
तादता
स्वर्ण प्रस्थास
चंद्र शुक्ला
अवर्तनो रमनाको
मंदरारिना
पंचजन्या
सिंहलो
लंकेति Translation. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, My dear king, in the opinion of some learned scholars, 8 small islands surrounded by Jambudvip, when the sons of Maharaj Sagara were searching all over the world for their lost horses, they dug up the earth, and in this way 8 adjoining islands came into existence. The name of these islands are Swarnaprastha, Chandrashukla, Avartana, Ramanaka, Mandaraharina, Panchajanya, Singhala and Lanka. You can repeat the translation. Sri Sukadev Goswami said,
Sri Sukadev Goswami said,
My dear King,
In the opinion of some learned scholars,
Eight smaller islands,
Surrounded by Jambudvip,
When the sons of Maharaj Sagara were searching all over the world
for their lost horse,
they dug up the earth,
and in this way,
eight adjoining islands
came into existence.
The names of islands are
Swarnaprastha,
Chandrashukla,
Avartana,
Ramanaka,
Mandararina,
Panchajanya,
Simhala,
and Lanka. In the Purva Puran, there is this statement about the desires of demigods. Anadikari Namdeva Svargastha Bharata Bhavan Vachanti Atmavi Mokshartha Mudrekarthe Karirana. Although the demigods are situated in exalted positions in the heavenly planets, they nevertheless desire to descend to the land of Bharatvarsha on the planet Earth. This indicates that even the demigods are unfit to reside in Bharatvarsha. Therefore, if persons already born in Bharatvarsha live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land, they are certainly unfortunate. The next verse also. Evam tava bharatatkama jambudvipavarsha vibhava yathopadesham upavarnita iti. My dear King Parikshit, O best of the descendants of Bharat Maharaj, I have thus described to you, as I myself have been instructed, the island of Bharatvarsha and its adjoining islands. These are the islands that constitute Jambudvip. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of 5th Canto 19th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled A Description of the Islands of Jambudvip. ॐ ज्ञानदिग्रन्थस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sabitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadami Andadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantara Vatanta Namaskate Tapta Karchana Chora Gira Devinda Maheshwari Vishwamanu Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Kriye Vancha Kalpata Rupesha Kripa Sindhu Vecha Patita Nama Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Buddha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhagavad Gita Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananda Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunamadi Paschata Deshitarine Sukadeva Swami continues, and towards the end of this chapter, he is describing the islands created on the moon. Sukadeva Swami is describing to Bharat Paresh about this island, and he is quoting the prayers of demigods. He used to this also. So, very interesting section this one, which is glorifying. Bharat Varsha, specifically in Purport Prabhupada, mentions land of India, land of spirituality, land of religion. So, yesterday Mataji gave a full description which actually covers all these verses about the demigods' desire to come and appear on this land. So that practically many points were covered which even this verse talks about. But here the purport Srila Prabhupada quotes one verse from Kuma Purana, which is again specifically explaining the desire, the keen desire which the devatas have, that they, why they want to come and appear on this planet Earth, the speciality of this planet Earth. And while explaining this verse, Prabhupada makes some very strong statements. I'll read the translation again of that verse from Kuma Purana, how Prabhupada quotes it. He says, although the demigods are situated in exalted positions in heavenly planets, they nevertheless desire to descend to the land of Bharatvarsha on the planet Earth. It means they want to live in India, which is on planet Earth. This indicates that even the demigods are unfit to reside in Bharatvarsha. Therefore, if persons already born in Bharatvarsha, if they live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land, they are certainly unfortunate. If we take it to us, we are unfortunate if we don't take advantage of our birth in India. So, there are three types of people. Actually, there are four types in the universe, and we will not talk about that. Three types: one learns by hearing, one learns by seeing, and the other one learns by experiencing. So here the demigods are in the category that they are basically sharing their realization through experience. They are experiencing the happiness of the heavenly planets. And the experience they have in heavenly planets, based on that, their prayers are coming, which is a realization through experience. The fourth category is even after experiencing, beaten up with all the sufferings, doesn't listen, doesn't understand, doesn't follow. But demigods are very intelligent personalities. They are very superior personalities within the creation. So they are sharing their experience that how amazing it is to take birth in Bharatvarsha, especially in the land in India. I was speaking to my father the other day, and we were just discussing how previous times was and now how, what changes have happened. And he was sharing, he has told many times these stories in his childhood, even in his not even childhood, even I have seen in my own childhood, but especially in his childhood, their main entertainment was they would look up to this festival season coming up, like Janmashtami, Dashara, Diwali. And why they would look up to that? Because they would spend most of their time in temples, decorating the place, creating different pastime sites called Jhakiyan and different dioramas on Janmashtami day. And then so much of their time was spent to prepare stage drama of Ram Leela. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but I have attended many of those stage dramas where many actresses would come and participate, and this will go on for more than a month. And how much practice? This is not practice. The drama itself goes on for 1 month for the public. Their practice begins 2-3 months before. So, and they cover the full drama, and it was such an entertainment for people. This is the land, the glory of India. If you see, my father was telling that the parents would get upset because they would spend too much time in such activities. And parents would get upset that why are you not coming home? Why are you spending so much time in temple? And why are you spending so much time preparing the stage dramas? And I was thinking when he was telling me that, especially with devotee parents, they would be so excited if their children will spend time in these activities now. And this is the contrast, this is such a change that has taken place just in maybe 15 years or 2 decades maximum. That in my own childhood, I have myself gone for weeks together every single night, 3 to 4 hours, watching these dramas, and the impression it leaves on you, is the sanskara it leaves on us is very helpful, because you by heart know all the pastimes, all the stories, all these Puranic stories, you just know it. Especially when Janmashtami time would come, in the whole park would just be decorated with different dioramas, Bhishma Pitama lying on the bed of arrows, and kids are watching it. And other different main leelas in Mahabharata, Krishna's appearance, sometimes you go on Berg Street on Krishna's time, in front of Maya's window, they have displayed such dioramas, such moving dioramas where how Jesus is appearing. Like that on at least 10 times bigger scale. And practically every single temple and every suburb has a temple. This was the activity. So, so such an impression, sanskar, it gives to children. But what happened in early 2000, especially when color TV came, cable TV came, we saw in our own area there was immediately the Ram Leela, the stage drama was stopped, and they put a big screen with projection displaying that television Ramayana. That was still okay. That lasted only 2 years, and now everything is finished. Everything is gone. Some experts they say that how much the damage Mughal invasion did to India when they ruled for 700 years, and the damage British did to India when they ruled for 200 years is very minimal in comparison to the damage that television has done to Indian culture. And what to speak of television, then internet, then games, then other media, then Western lifestyle, nightclubs, pubs. But still, with all this happening, there is something, some very different flavor India has. And that is that even while enjoying all these artificial ways of happiness, when people from India, when they hit with hardships, somehow they look back to God. Somehow they look towards God, unless they have been turned to atheists. The other day we were discussing in ashram how a branch of religion, Christianity, Islam, are looking towards India if they really want to solidify their position. Because people from Indian subcontinent, India and around countries, they have a very strong commitment towards religion. And if they take up to some religion, then they stick to it. They basically hold on to it. And that is something very ingrained within Indian culture. You see, even in how ISKCON has come out, when Srila Prabhupada was trying to establish, before coming to the West, League of Devotees, he was really struggling. But it's not that people were not God conscious that time. They were God conscious, but they were looking towards West for happiness. He was struggling very hard. He went to the West, he became a success story, he came back to India, again struggled hard, very hard. But now just 50 years have passed since Srila Prabhupada started his struggle to preach in India, and the change it has taken, the results are such so enormous that how Krishna consciousness has penetrated India, and it's so huge now in India, and it's growing, that even in practically every main field, we see devotees are there, whether it's politics or you know, social media influencers, motivation speakers, you know, youth icon. Brahmacharya is a youth icon. This is a serious change actually, if you see, that has taken place. And that is all because the innate nature or of that place, or the spiritual culture that place carries, has to, people are having it, it's just they're not looking towards it, they're looking towards the Western ways of being happy. You know, very famously it's said that India is so close to Krishna, but their back is towards Krishna, and the West is very far from Krishna, but they're looking towards Krishna. So Indians, people coming from that Bharat Varsha, they just have to turn their backs and they're just with Krishna. And that's what is happening, that such a huge number of devotees, of people have taken Krishna consciousness. You know, how many big business magnates have taken to the process of Krishna consciousness, and the impact it will have in just few years to come and years forthcoming will be massive, will be very, it's very hopeful, it's very positive. And because of all these influences, we see, if you see 1970s, and towards 1974-1975, the pain Srila Prabhupada had to take just to meet the Prime Minister or the political or other politicians to somehow get devotees settled in India to establish the movement was so much pain. If you actually read that description, Prabhupada's main concern was, I want to have this big project in India. Four projects he had: Mayapur, Hyderabad, Bombay and Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was very clear, he was not in any illusion. He said, I don't have Indians to help me. I only have all these Western devotees who are from Europe, America, Australia. Now if the country's visa rules are such, if India's visa rules are such that they cannot stay here and they have to be kicked out, or I have to spend thousands of dollars every year to just send them out, apply for visa again and then bring them back again, to run these places or to start these projects, how am I going to do? And Prabhupada has had done a full calculation that every year 5 lakh rupees, which must be at least, I would say, 50 lakh or more in comparison to now, I am just spending on sending my people back, apply visa and then bring them back again. And what a waste of money it is. Why don't you give them visa and let them stay here? I don't have help from Indians. This was Prabhupada's very key concern, and he tried to meet the that time Prime Minister Indira Gandhi and worked so hard, and somehow I think 100 plus devotees got visa to be able to citizenship to settle in India and help with these projects. And if you see now, there are I think 200 plus centers in India. Maybe more than that, I don't know what is the number. And we recently saw, a few days back, Prime Minister of India released a commemorative coin in glorification of Srila Prabhupada. It is such a feat, actually, if you see the long term, the ripple effect will create within the community, is going to be very favorable for us all. Especially if someone with such an influence speaks such a glorification of Srila Prabhupada, and noticing the contributions ISKCON has done in the society, it's going to have massive impact. Because in India there are quite a few different areas or different sects, not sects but different opinions people have about ISKCON. and some are very favorable, some are neutral, and some are pretty much opposing. This is all within Hinduism, Hindus I am talking about. But such an event like that took place the other day will have a very positive impact for ISKCON, and time will show, of course, what it brings. But this is what amazing change we see, and all this is happening because the potency, spiritual culture is very much there in that place. So many IITs have taken to Krishna consciousness now. But the most amazing thing about India is that India has serious contrasts. You see extremes on both sides. You see very, very cultured families. You see people who are really God conscious, and you see atheists to the best of the quality also. You see people who are hell bound to break this Indian culture, break this very culture, and they are really against it, and you see another extreme also. Whereas in the West, this extreme contrasts are not very visible. People are very busy just enjoying their senses. But here, in this section of Bhagavatam, the demigods are offering their prayers to the Supreme Lord. They want to appear in Bharat Varsha. Of course, not for sense enjoyment, because India is not the greatest place for sense enjoyment. There is quite a bit of struggle there in terms of full-fledged sense enjoyment. If sense enjoyment was the only purpose for them praying, if they are not satisfied for sense enjoyment there in the heavenly planets, and if they still want sense enjoyment in earth, India would be the last in the list for them to ask to pray for. Now they must pray for some other Western country. Like Mataji was explaining yesterday that, you know, if you give chance to any Indian, they just won't escape India. They just don't get opportunity. We are in a situation where visa crisis is such a problem. Like, especially Indians who are here, students who are here, they desperately want to stay here by a hook or crook. They are ready to do anything, go to any place somehow to stay in this place. Of course, for devotees, the association is very attractive there. But those who are not devotees, it is very shocking to know what all means they acquire, they use to stay here. When I was working as a travel agent, sometimes such people would come and they share their story, what all they have done just to come and get a visa and stay here. And few occasions, and it's very commonly known, few occasions, brothers have shown their own sisters as their married partner just to come and get visa. This is the desperate need for people. The situation people are in, they feel grass is so green here that somehow or other escape. And this is a brother and sister relationship. Their fathers are brother, they are first cousin, and they show themselves as couples. And one comes here on visa, other is on spouse visa, one works, both work and divide the fees and pay and then get PR or whatever they do. Or one has PR and then he or she brings their cousin. First cousin, this is like, you know, it's after your own brother or sister, this is the closest relation you can have, your first cousin. Very common, especially in Punjab area, it's very commonly seen. So demigods are naturally, definitely not praying for that. So their prayer is very specific, that they want the benefit of devotional service practiced in the Bharat Varsha. India is such a place that if you see, most of the old civilization is around a holy river. Whether it's Varanasi or it's around Mother Ganga. Doesn't matter you follow religion, doesn't matter you are atheist, it doesn't matter you are Muslim or a Christian around that area, you go and take bath in Ganga if you are in those areas. Of course, if you are in a city, then it's a different story altogether. But it's it's very much available for everyone staying there. So demigods are praying for devotional service, and in their prayer they really want to seek shelter of the Lord, the feet of the Supreme Lord. Very interesting section is there in 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, where again demigods are praying to the Supreme Lord, seeking shelter of the lotus feet. Very nice verses are there in 10th canto, 2nd chapter, 30, 31, 32, where the demigods are very specifically praying that they want to seek shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So, verse 30 from the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, it says, O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajanas, great saints, sages and devotees. And they say, by this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a cow. And the first line of the purport is very specific. Prabhupada makes a very clear statement. He says, the true mission in life is to cross the ocean of nations, of repeated birth and death. Those in darkness of ignorance, however, do not know this mission. So, those who do not know this mission are in the category who want to seek some other benefits from this place. And what are those benefits? They can be philanthropists, they can be non-devotees, they can be altruists, they can be impersonalists also, they can be jnani, yogis, so many things. Because their true mission is not escape from this material suffering by holding on to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So, the demigods are very nice prayer actually. You see, purports are very amazing for this section we are currently reading in Ashram Srimad Bhagavatam study. And then the demigods, they continue their prayer, which is a very famous verse, verse 32. Says, ye anne vrindaksha vimukta maninas toyasta bhava avishuddha buddhe aruhya krikshena padam padam param padam tata padanti adonadri turishma dandare. Translation Shilopar says, someone may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? So there are some people who are in the category of non-devotees. Some people may even reject Vedic system altogether. But there are some who are under this umbrella of Vedic culture and they have followed different processes like Jnani, the yogis. So this is the question, what happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, all the non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated. Their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for the lotus feet. So anyone practicing any other process given in Bhagavad Gita approved by the Supreme Lord, if there is no regard for the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, basically if there is no attraction of this, if there is no practice of devotional service to whatever little degree also, then those processes will not give the desired result. In Bhagavad Gita, one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada says that impersonalists, they only assume that they have attained moksha, liberation, but eventually they fall down. So Prabhupada uses the word that only some can stay there. Rest will fall down. He uses the word only some survive in the liberated state in impersonal Brahmajyoti. And those some are those who have some regard for devotional service. Even though they may not be attracted for devotional service as the main process, but if they disregard or if they are offensive towards devotional service, towards the Lord's form, His lotus feet means the personality of Lord. then they can't even attain perfection in their own given processes also. Devotees, if you see, many examples of devotees we see who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and because they are so much attached to devotional service while serving the Lord, they don't mind how the Lord treats them or how their surrounding treats them, because their attraction is very much the lotus feet of the Lord. And when the demigods are praying to come to Bharat Varsha, like yesterday Mataji was making a point that in India there is a balance. You're not full-fledged enjoying your senses, and the suffering also is not extreme. They both are there, both experiences are there. You enjoy some happiness also, you have some extremes, you can suffer also. So the demigods, they know that suffering will come if they appear in the land of Bharat Varsha. But that's not their interest. Then what to speak of those pure devotees who have actually taken complete shelter? Demigods are still known to have some material desires, but those who have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Lord, the suffering they go through, it doesn't bother them, because very tightly they are holding on to hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord. You know, in the classic example of Pandavas, we see that the amount of suffering Pandavas had to undergo, even devotees get bewildered. Do we really want to worship such a Lord? You know, sometimes, in the devotees, they really see the amount of suffering Pandavas had to go through, just because they were very much attached to Krishna, is enormous. It's just huge. You know, in prayers of Queen Kunti, one of the verse she makes in glorification of the Supreme Lord is that Vishal Mahalane Purushartha Darshana Asata Sabhaya Vanvasa Krishita Mrade Mrade Neka Mahalata Asato Dhrani Sutra Tarsma Hare Darshita. The Vishal Mahalane, you know, poison was given, house was burned, attempt was there to burn them down, then man eaters attack them. Then the most intense was they were insulted, completely taken away all their riches, and their wife was also insulted. Asat Sabha. In that assembly of all the generals, their wife was insulted. Nothing bigger insult can be there for women, and for husband also, watching their wife being insulted like that. Then after everything, one of us sent to the forest for exile. Then so many Mahanatis attacked them in the battle of Kurukshetra. Then somehow Krishna protected through that, and then Ashwatthama also attacked the womb of Uttara and with Brahmastra. So Tasma Hare Virakshita, the Supreme Lord was protecting at all given times. But after this prayer, after giving this full list out, this is very amazing actually. So many times we have heard this pastime. How Kunti Maharani is still asking Krishna. The issue is not that these problems are coming. Let it come. That's not the main focus. The main focus is you should not go. And this is the attraction devotees have. This attraction which devotees have for the Supreme Lord is, of course, very theoretical, and I'm saying this, but at least when you read from their pastime, they must be experiencing this attraction. Then it doesn't matter what is happening to the body, doesn't matter what is happening to the relatives around us, it doesn't matter, as long as you are in the picture and there is attraction for you, and it's a growing attraction for you, it doesn't matter what the surrounding is. There's a nice devotee of Lord Jagannath, his name was Raghudas. This devotee was so poor, there was no livelihood, there was no place for him to stay, there was no house. He would just sleep on the street with an umbrella just to cover himself. So poor, and just someone on some mat he would sleep on the road. And one time he got very, very sick, and he is very ardent devotee of Lord Jagannath, very much attached to Jagannath. He was so sick that he was vomiting, stool, diarrhea, like urine was passing, he couldn't move, body so weak. And then he started noticing that every night someone comes and kills him. and put sandalwood on his body, because the stool and all would make a mess. So he cleaned the place while he's sitting and make it fragrant. So few nights passed, and one night he thought, who is doing this to me? And one night he stayed awake and he saw one person comes and starts to clean. And it is Lord Jagannath. So that he caught hold of his hand and he said, why are you cleaning this? He said, I like to serve my devotees. He said, if you like to serve my devotees, then it's no problem. If that's what you want to do. And Jagannath said, no. I would seek for an opportunity to serve the devotees. So I like to serve you like that. Similar pastime is there with Shuklambara Brahmachari. He was another very power distinct Brahmachari, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya and Navadvip. So poor that he would just go and beg some, get some rice and collect those rice. And one day when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do his kirtan, ecstatic kirtan in private. So one time he went to the kirtan and Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. And he stopped the kirtan and he went to his bag and took out the rice, that old bag of rice, a little from here, there, everywhere, and started to eat that rice. And he became a Christian. He said, why are you eating this? And don't eat this. This is not of your standard at all. And Lord said, no, I really like to eat this rice. And Lord told him that in every leela, you will come with me. In previous pastime, you were Sulama. And I kept you poor and I ate your chipped rice. Later I gave you some opulence. This life also you will be poor. And in every life you will remain poor and I will come and eat from you. So it actually can bewilder someone seeing from outside. Then make him rich. What is the problem? Fix the pain of the Prabhupada. Why are you in disease? Why you made Pandavas suffer? But Lord also seeks an opportunity to serve his devotees by this gesture. So when devotees, they understand this nature of the Supreme Lord, it's very attractive. It really makes them surrender to the Supreme Lord more and more. That who is also seeking an opportunity to serve his devotees. And he knows that these devotees will not leave me because of some discomfort. If you read Mahabharata, 90% of the time Pandavas are just fighting from this problem, this issue, that issue, running away this many years in the forest, and it's just the whole leela is just a problem. The whole pastime is a problem for them. And Kunti Maharani is asking for more for it. So it has, unless one sees with eyes of devotion or through the vision of the great acharyas. So now we may not have eyes of pure devotion, but at least when we hear through Prabhupada and through acharyas, we can appreciate the reciprocation of the Supreme Lord with them. Because these are the devotees, they are not acting, they are not suffering based on karmic platform. It's not that they are getting reactions of the karma. But there are so many lessons, so many multiple goals Lord is trying to achieve through these devotees, whether it's Pandava or the couple of examples we discussed, that future generation really learns from them. You know, that very famous verse, if the Lord becomes very merciful to you, he takes away everything. It's a very scary verse for many people. What about the mortality if everything is gone? What about my family if everything is gone? Because actually, if you carefully see why that fear comes when we say, what is that verse? Harishetatanamshanai. If Lord is very kind, he takes away everything. Because then everyone also leaves you. And only thing you have is the Supreme Lord. So very, very nice mood the devotees, these pure devotees have. And similarly, reciprocation of the Supreme Lord is also very attractive. So that's why the demigods, they specifically ask for devotional service when they want to appear in the land of Bharat worship, and nothing else. So this chapter we have finished. Tomorrow 20th chapter begins studying the structure of the universe. So this wanted to discuss, share a few points from that. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
Just to do the devotion service, do you need to suffer or be poor to do that, or do you most of
the... So the question is, just to do devotion service, do we need to suffer or be poor? Not really. You don't have to suffer or be poor to practice devotional service. But if the Supreme Lord gives you, then no complaints. One story comes to mind that Jayantaka Maharaj, his own Jayantaka Maharaj, told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I feel that the service I am doing for you, I am doing this because he was preaching in India that time, and he liked to preach in Bengal and India. The service I am doing for you, I like that service. So he was feeling that maybe there is something wrong in that, that you should do something for your spiritual master, which you don't like, but you still do it. So his question was from that angle, that I am doing something for you, Srila Prabhupada, to serve Krishna. But I like that service. So I am feeling a little odd about it." Whereas many devotees, like Kamalakrishna Maharaj or some other devotees, Prabhupada said, go to China, go to Russia, Brahmananda Prabhu, go to Pakistan. And Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter if you like or not. If spiritual master is happy with your service, that is success. So if Krishna, simply just take this example, if Krishna makes us poor or makes us rich, for a devotee the criteria is not that. The criteria is, whatever Krishna gives, it's fine. It's Krishna's will. And whatever situation he puts me in, that is the situation he wants me to serve in. And there are many devotees, you know, who may have so much riches, so much influence. And if Krishna wants those riches or influence to be used in his service, then it's Krishna's choice. And if he wants to set an example that even though my devotees are so poor, they still do not leave my lotus feet. That is Krishna's choice. So, for what do you have to add something? He is independent Lord. My understanding is that let him choose it. But if in our prayers has some sometimes you see a notice is given of a business and then there is a star, and with that star condition applies, there is a big paragraph or there are two pages. So in front of the Lord or in front of people or in front of devotees, we may offer a pure devotion prayer, but there is a star condition applies, and that condition applies two pages of list, which is a complete, which is not a pure devotional prayer. Then we can't block the Lord. The Lord knows what's inside. So as long as our prayer is completely for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, at least seeking the devotional service, and our devotional service is ahetukya pratyaya, as unmotivated and uninterrupted, then Lord, let the Lord decide how He wants to keep us. He wants to make us a success. May God make us a big preacher, popular, no popular, money, no money, family, very very settled gharasta, very nice family, kids devotee, everyone devotee, like it's a good example family everyone to follow, or nobody is a devotee in the family and you yourself are struggling to get your family and chant one round together. That is up to the Lord. But as long as our prayer is in the mode of pure devotional service with no strings attached, then let the Lord decide. That's my understanding.
Okay. Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.